And let's go to the word of God. And I was praying, and the sermon that I'm going to teach has come to me a few weeks ago when I was on the series of the gifts of God. So we completed the gifts of God, and we completed that. What we ended on was the discernment of spirits. And for the last two gifts, I referred you to the sermons that are already given. The gift of tongues has been already taught. So we completed that. And I believe that even as the people of God go through that series, God will start to speak to you. And even through the word of God, through the teaching of the word of God, the Holy Spirit will start to impart gifts. Or the gifts you already have, the Holy Spirit will start to bring it to your mind, bring it to activation, bring it to have it function in your life, that you may come to the realization of the gifts that you carry. Certain gifts I told that all believers should have. But tonight we are starting on a new journey with the word of God. From tonight we are starting on a new journey with the word of God. And what we are going to study on is the false god of the debased mind. The false god of the debased mind. Only God knows, and the Spirit of God knows, how important it is for believers to understand this false god of the debased mind. The another name that I have for this sermon is the God, not in caps lock God, not in uppercase, but lowercase God. So it's not our Jehovah God, the God of the human heart. That's the another name for the sermon, the God of the human heart. Okay. What the devil is planning to do is he is planning to corrupt your mind. And the devil wants not only unbelievers, but even believers. He wants to corrupt your mind so that he can corrupt your mind to such an extreme that you get a debased mind. But I pray and I declare in the name of Jesus, no one here is going to be corrupted to get a debased mind, never in their lives, in Jesus' name. Because debased mind is an area of danger. Is an area from where a person can never come back. Is a territory of the mind, is a mindset from where a person can never come back to God. And the devil is working through every medium he can work. He's working through the education system. He's working through social media, the platforms on social media. He's working through churches. Especially churches, especially preachers, so that people can be led to a state where they have a debased mind. Okay? And that's why God, when God started to speak to me on this topic, I understood the urgency to teach it. I understood the urgency to teach this sermon on the God of the human heart, or the false God of the debased mind, to the people of God, and to release this word, because God is going to warn us and God is going to give us the wisdom and the knowledge how we can keep ourselves to getting into a state from where we will have a debased mind. Okay, first of all, I want to start off with how this sermon originated, how I got this revelation. Now, I was going through some Christian content and some Christian content and a very, very renowned pastor in my nation, India. The whole nations follow, the whole nation, all the Christians, follow that man of God. He is also ministering in the US and in the Africa and many countries throughout the world. He has an international ministry. And many people are influenced, and whenever he says anything, everyone in India and in the world will say amen to it, and they will say this is the word. So I was going through some Christian content, and I read what this man was teaching. It was a quote of his sermon that he posted about what he was teaching in his church. And this is what he posted. Now, this is what I'm quoting him. He posted, "When God speaks about you, he speaks only good things. So don't let your thoughts about yourself that are not in God's mind enter your mind." This is what he quoted. This is what he taught upon. Let me come again. Listen to me carefully. Now, I don't want to take someone else and expose him, but after I read this, the Spirit of God started to speaking to me and told me what he's teaching is not just a false teaching, but it's a spirit that he is releasing, and he is promoting a God that is not the God of the Bible. It is the God of human heart. It is the God of human heart. Okay, what he is saying is, when God speaks about you, listen to that. When God speaks about you, he speaks only good things. So don't let your thoughts about yourself that are not in God's mind enter your mind. So he is saying that God will only speak good things about you. So if you hear that you are not doing right, you cannot commit adultery. If you hear a rebuke, it is not God speaking to you. If you hear a correction that I don't want you to smoke, I don't want you to drink, I don't want you to commit adultery, you are not doing it right. If you hear that voice, he is saying it's not God, because he is saying our God, he is saying the God of the Bible, he is speaking to Christians that he speaks what? Only good things. Our God only speaks good things. And if you have things in your mind that are not good about you, don't let those thoughts be entertained, because these thoughts are not in God's mind for you. He only speaks good things. So when I heard this, I knew that it was not scriptural. It is not from the Bible. So I said, yeah, okay, fine. It's not from the Bible. Then the Holy Spirit told, stop. He told Rahul, do you know what he is doing? He is propagating and promoting a God of the human heart. That means I can do whatever I want and God is pleased with me. So this is not me. This is the God of the human heart. I can do whatever I want. I can commit adultery. I can drink alcohol. I can do all the sins in the world that the Bible calls as sins. But God says good things to me. God will never say a bad thing to me. God will never rebuke me. God will never correct me. And the Lord told me he is talking about another God. And that God is the God of the human heart. And that God is the God of the debased mind. Hallelujah. So slowly and certainly, the voices that you are hearing in the church. Now, this is not this man is not a small preacher or whatever. He is, and when I saw the comments, all the comments were, some people commented, this is the word required for me. This is the word required for the season. Pastor, preach it. Amen. 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 I was looking at, can anyone understand that it's not from the Bible? And no one could. No one could. It was almost from all the states of India, people commenting. And are we understanding? It may seem as a false, but the Holy Spirit revealed to me the God of the human heart is promoting himself even in the churches. Forget about media, forget about Hollywood or Bollywood and entertainment industries and all those stuff. But right inside the church, there is the God of the debased mind promoting himself and teaching a doctrine where you can do whatever you want, but God is pleased with me. God will never say a bad thing. God will never rebuke me. God will never correct me. God will never say a negative thing. No, no, no. Hallelujah. Are we together? So that is where the Lord started to speak to me. And that is where this sermon I'm going to teach tonight originated. Now, what this man is teaching, this teaching is the teaching about the false god of a debased mind, who only speaks good things and let the human mind do what it wants to do. And let the human mind, whatever you want to do, you can do. God has no problem with you, because God will only speak good things. So this teaching is about the god of a debased mind, who let the human mind do whatever they want to do. And this God never rebukes, corrects, or stops them. This is not the God of the Bible, because the God that we worship rebukes, corrects, chastens, encourages, exhorts us. The scripture that the Lord has given us, the Bible, we read in the book of Timothy that it is for correction, for rebukes, for exhortation, for encouragement, for building up, not only for saying and entertaining us and satisfying us with good things. Are we together? So before I go into the teaching, let me take you to some scriptures to teach you that God is not only a God who will only speak good things. He also will correct us. And sometimes when he corrects us, he will correct us in a stern way that is there in the scripture. Let's turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 5, 8 to 11. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 5 to 11. Okay. Verse number 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. My God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you want to know the Lord loves you or not? Check out if the Lord rebukes you or not. Do you want to know if the Lord loves you or not? Check out if the Lord chastens you or not. Do you want to know if the Lord really loves you? Check out if the Lord scourges you. What a word. He says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Means gives beatings in the spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is God of the Bible I'm talking about. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to the extreme where God will always correct you. Not like that. But the Bible says that the love of God is expressed in his chastening. Everyone say, the love of God for me is expressed in his chastening for me. Everyone say that. The love of God for me.
The love of God for me is expressed in his chastening
for me. Amen. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. Many Christians are being indoctrinated with a doctrine where, once I was teaching on a platform, and after teaching that sermon, someone came and texted me, "Wow, Brother Rahul, why you are talking about sin? We all are sinners. We sin. So let us not even talk about sin. Why don't you only talk about good things from God?" A Christian telling me, an advisor, seems to be a teacher, thinks she is a teacher, teaching me what to say and what not to say. Christians are being indoctrinated, and they think they are following Jesus Christ. They are not following Jesus Christ, these kind of people. They are following the God of the debased mind. And I am going to expose that God tonight. I am going to expose that spirit tonight. That you beware of it. There is a spirit. the God of the debased mind, that say, oh, God does not chastens or corrects or anything. He is a good God. I don't want to take the names, but many of the preachers who have an international ministry, they are the most prominent preachers in the history of Christianity. They are the ones who follow a principle that never ever talk about sin. Never ever, even in the smallest way, rebuke someone or talk about sin. Who are they? They are the servants of Satan and not of God. And they are promoting a God called the God of the debased mind, the God of the human heart. So it says, where we are on Hebrews 12. And it says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. You see that? If you say, I don't want any chastening, I don't want any negative things about me, I don't want any correction. The Bible is saying that if you despise the chastening of the Lord, what you are illegitimate and you are not sons. Hallelujah. Verse number 9. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Without his chastening, without his rebukes, without his corrections, you cannot partake of his holy nature. You cannot. Tell me, have you ever prayed? Ask this question to yourself. You don't need to answer me. I don't want to know. Ask this question to yourself. Have you ever prayed to God, Lord, make me holy as you are? Make my thoughts holy as your thoughts are. Make my heart holy as you are. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Make me holy as you are. How many Christians pray that prayer today? The subject of holiness is forgotten. You go through YouTube searching for a word of God, searching for a man of God who can give you a prophecy, give you a word, or you search for men of God. Tell me, when last did you find someone teaching on holiness? You will not find them. Because holiness is a forgotten subject. Holiness is a forgotten doctrine. Why? Because people despise the chastening of the Lord. Till the time a preacher is telling you good things, oh, you know what, God is showing me, you will build a house, God is showing me, you will buy a car, oh, God, the prosperity gospel, God wants to bless you, God wants to prosper you. But when a preacher will start to teach on holiness, when a preacher will start to teach the word coming directly from the Spirit of God that starts to pierce your heart, prick your heart, expose the darkness in your heart, people start to feel uncomfortable. Oh, no. I don't want to hear all these things. I want to keep those things in my heart. It says that if we despise the Lord's correction, if we despise his rebukes, if we despise his chastening, his scourges, we are illegitimate and we are not sons. But if we receive the chastening and the rebukes of the Lord, we are his children. If you are hearing a God, if you are hearing a spirit that never chastens you, that never corrects you, that never asks you to go into repentance, you are not hearing God. Are you understanding that? You are hearing another spirit. You are hearing another God. You are not hearing the God of the Bible. You are not hearing Jesus Christ. I know I am not married to that man, but I still love him and I still want to sleep with him, because God knows, God, you know I am lonely. And Jesus told me, some people are coming on Christian platforms and even saying, I am a man, I fall in love with a man, but Jesus was there when we were physically intimate. God's presence is there. That is what people are saying nowadays. Jesus. This is God of the human heart. Are we understanding that? Yes. This is God of the human heart. Preachers who fall into adultery, they say, I fell into adultery, but while I was doing it, God was still there. Because God never leaves or never forsake. No. God cannot take part in sin. God cannot take part in the works of darkness. He's talking about another God. You have to understand it. And he is indoctrinating you to follow the God of your own heart and not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible that I am teaching about is the God who chastens. The God who chastens, and in his chastening, he approves people as sons and daughters. If you are not chastened by the Lord, you are not the approved son and daughter of God. It says if we despise his chastening, we are illegitimate and we are not sons. Are we together? Verse number 10, it says, for they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. That's why he chastens us, because he loves us, because he wants us to partake of his what? Of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Hallelujah. Are you trained by the chastening of the Lord? This is my question to you. Let me read that word again. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. Presently, if you go through chastening, it will not be joyful. It will not be exciting. It will not be something good for your flesh. But it will be painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can everyone say, I want to be trained by the Lord? I want to be trained
by the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I want to be trained by the Lord.
Are we understanding? This is the Bible. This is the Bible I'm teaching you. And this is the God of the Bible. And what happens is, I have no problem if currently I am not having that star experience, that red carpet experience, that experience that other people are having. I don't covet that experience. I don't covet what they are enjoying, because it's better for me to suffer now, because afterward I will enjoy if I suffer now. It is better for me to subject myself to the rod of the Lord, to the discipline of the Lord, so that later when the time comes, I will bear the fruits of the righteousness, of the holiness I am walking in, and crucifying my flesh, in denying myself in order to follow the Lord. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? That is what it says, that right now it may be painful in the present. Oh, brother, what you are teaching and this and that. Why don't you, just go ahead and do this, do that, and all the shiny, shiny, shiny ministry. No. I know what I am doing. I am teaching the word, and I'm walking in that word and teaching the word. It's painful for our flesh. I'm telling you. It will make our flesh suffer. Because when we suffer in the flesh, we will cease from sin. It's written in the book of Peter. But later, the fruit of righteousness will appear. Later, the fruits of righteousness will appear. That is how God works through a person. God will never ever make the person public, but God will train him in righteousness in the secret place, in the hidden places, in caves first, and then equip the person's mind, equip the person's heart to be knit with the Lord, with the Spirit of the Lord, that the person, before even he gets a car, the Lord will make sure that the person is dead towards having a car. Even before the person gets a ministry, the Lord will make sure that the person is dead towards ministry. He does not want the ministry, actually. He wants God. Hallelujah. One of the famous Christian apologists that the world had, and after his death, he greatly fell down. After his death, he got exposed after his death, not while he was living. And all his books were taken out from the Christian shops. He was one of the greatest Christian apologists. And he defended the gospel, but he fell. I remember what he said once. He said once that my desire was to get on the top, to be the best Christian preacher. And I went there and I reached there. But after I reached there, I found myself that I wanted something that left me empty. I wanted it, but when I reached there, I understood I really didn't want that. I want God. Hallelujah. So, the things that we are desiring for, the Lord will prove it one day that it's of no use to you. What you need is me. What you need is Jesus and nothing else. Hallelujah. Okay. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The chastening of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The chastening of the Lord. The chastening of I was different from the way I am now. My thought process, my mindset, because I was spanked by the Lord many times. The Lord used his rod to beat me up because I am his son. The Lord scourged me, I'm telling you. That's why the way I used to think, it crumbled down and I started to develop the mind of Christ. We will come to that. I started to develop the heart, not fully, not I am not there. That is a long way for, long way. But I am on that journey at least. I am doing that journey with God. I am not on a different journey going somewhere else. I am moving towards Jesus Christ. I am moving towards the crown of life. So, but when I started, I was not like that. I had a lot of desires. From the time the Lord Jesus encountered me, I was having fantasies about what I will do for God. What ministry will I have? I had a lot of desires. I had a lot of things. I wanted to be like the great men of God. I wanted to be known. But by the time I reached the age of, let's say, 29, the Lord made me wait so much. The Lord spanked me so much that all those desires faded away. I was dead towards ministry. I was dead towards all the things that a preacher would want. And then Jesus started to become more real to me because of the chastening of the Lord. Because of the chastening of the Lord. I know for sure what I am doing is the assignment of the Lord. That's all I know. I don't know what will happen. I don't know how much I will receive, how much fame or whatever. I don't know. I don't care about it. But I just know I am in the bosom of the Lord. I am in the lap of the Lord and my Father is carrying me. Are we understanding? Oh, hallelujah. That is called being dead to yourself. That is called denial of self. That is called denial of the human heart. Many people will never go ahead with God in the God-given ministry because they don't want to deny themselves. I'm telling you. They don't want to deny themselves. In the beginning of our meeting, there was, I don't know if anyone knows, a lady from Pakistan, she lives in Canada, she came in the meeting. And I think that, I remember that day I was taking a very powerful, deep revelation about the water and the blood. And she came in that meeting. She was fascinated. After that, never to see her again in the meeting. But after that, she took number. She took my number from somewhere, and she would contact me. So 2 years passed away. 2 years passed away. Suddenly, I got a call from her. After 2 years, suddenly she's calling. I said, "What happened? This lady, no contact from 2 years. Suddenly she's calling me. What happened?" So I texted her, "I am on another call praying with someone. I will call you later." So I called her and she said, "Brother, how are you?" I said, "I am okay. What happened?" She said, "I want to do ministry. I am called for ministry. I want to do ministry." I said, okay, calm down. What ministry? No. I am called for ministry. God has a calling upon my life. God has a calling upon my life. I want to do ministry. I said, what do you want to do? What do you want me to do if you want to do ministry? After so many years, you are calling me, suddenly no contact, and suddenly you are calling me, what I will do if you want to do ministry? No, I want direction from you. I want a prophetic word from you. Oh, God. And the way she was speaking is like, ministry is something, a fantasy land that you, when you get into it, you get the red carpet, you get the appreciation, you get the fame, you get the money. I knew in my heart, this woman cannot do ministry because she is not, first of all, dead to herself. I told, listen. What I want to say to you is, my advice to you is, read your Bible carefully and look at the lives of the people God used. Look at their lives, okay? Read your Bible carefully and just have a look at the lives of people that God used in the Bible. I say, let's look at Joseph. Did he had a ministry just suddenly? No. His own family betrayed, the brothers betrayed him. He was put into the pit. Then from the pit, he went to the Potiphar's house. He was working there. He was accused of attempt to rape. He was put into prison. In prison also, people told him, we will help you. We'll bring you out of it. He ministered to them, but they never remembered him. And after a long time, when God's time came, when the Lord, the Father of all spirits, approved that my son Joseph has endured my correction, my chastening, and never complained, I will place him into the seat of authority. So I told her, before you do ministry, God will place you under submission before you do ministry. God will place you under submission. God will place you under authorities under which you will be persecuted. You will go through many things. You will go through trials. And then when the time comes, God will give you ministry. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. Some people are looking to have ministry from such a long time, but still they have not a ministry that is really from God. You know why? Because they don't want to endure chastening. They don't want to go through the process. They don't want to go through the process. They don't want to go through the process. They don't want to go through the chastening. Hallelujah. If you want to be used by God, if you want God to bless you and keep you at the seat of authority, you go through chastening of the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you understanding that? Turn with me now. Let's see how Jesus speaks. Okay? Let me show you a glimpse of how Jesus speaks. Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation chapter number 3. Verse number 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich, have become wealthy and have need of nothing and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Bring me that those preachers who say God does not speak bad things. He only speaks good things to you. This is Jesus speaking. Christians, you got to read your Bible carefully. You got to meditate, empty your mind or all your ideas and have a clear understanding. There is a lot of confusion. You got to read your Bible. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I wish you could be hot or cold, but you are lukewarm. So I will spit you out of my mouth. Wow. Have you heard Jesus speaking like that to you? I'm telling you, I have heard him speak like that to me. And I knew it is Jesus. That is chastening. That is scourging. Christians don't know about Jesus properly. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. You might say, how can God speak like that? Many believers will not believe that, but it's in your Bible. God speaks like that. And it will not be a condemning voice when he speaks like that. There will be the love in his voice that will draw you to himself in his chastening. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Should I continue this? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to me. Listen to me. I am teaching you to save you from eternal hell, from hellfire. That's why I'm teaching you this. This is Jesus speaking. Okay? This is Jesus speaking. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. But you don't know. You are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Jesus is telling them, I counsel you to buy from me gold in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Jesus wants to clothe you with righteousness. He wants to take your filthy sins away. But what you need to do is, you need to listen to him, and not to your heart. Oh, I am in my heart, that is what I heard. But in your heart, that is what you heard. But was it the voice of God? Because your heart will not speak God's word. I will come to that later. I have just started the sermon teaching. Hallelujah. So this is Jesus speaking. Verse number 19. As many as I love, listen to this. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Hallelujah. This is what the apostles taught. As many as I love, I what? Rebuke and chasten. So are you understanding that you should not listen and believe in something where someone comes and says, God only says good things to you. He will never say a bad thing to you. Don't listen. Hallelujah. Understand that there is a promotion of a God of the human heart going on. Hallelujah. As many as I love, I rebuke, I chasten. So I showed you from the scripture, the chastening of the Lord, Hebrews 12, Revelation chapter number 3, from the church of Laodicea. I showed you how Jesus speaks. He will speak to you sometimes like this. And if he starts to speak to you, understand that he is interested in you. Yes. He wants to transform you. I am telling you, he has spoken to me like this many times. I am telling you. And I know, hallelujah. And that's why I am his son. That's why I am his son. I belong to him. The world cannot take me. The devil cannot take me out because I belong to Jesus. Because I endure his chastening. I listen to his rebukes. Hallelujah. So the devil cannot take me out. The things of the world cannot impact me because I belong to my Father. I belong to my Savior. Because I listen to his word. I obey his commands. Hallelujah. Amen. Many times he told me, you are self-righteous. You know what, Raul? You are self-righteous. I said, God. And when I don't know, the Spirit of God in me, when I heard that, Lord, you know what? First of all, thank you. Before I say sorry, thank you for saying that. I sense your love in that rebuke. Thank you for exposing me. Do you know God exposes his own servants?
Yes.
Amen.
Do you know God exposes a servant of God? If I fall into sin and into secret sin and I hide from the Lord, I hide from you guys. I am coming here and teaching you powerfully. I am coming here and teaching you holiness. But if I have secret sin and I think nothing will happen, 5 years have passed, nothing. But one day it is God who will expose me. Do you know God does that? That brings me to my next point. God exposes his own servants.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. 2 Samuel, chapter number 12. 2 Samuel. I expected some silence tonight, so I am not shocked. So let's go to 2 Samuel, chapter 12. And verse number 7 to 12. 7 to 12. And Nathan said to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wife into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite, with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house." Stop there before going ahead. What is God doing? God exposed David. David was not the one who came and said, "I have sinned." God had to send a prophet to David to expose David. Hallelujah. Do you know? You got to believe. A preacher who will say, the mega church preachers will never teach people that God can expose you if you are in secret sin. Because he himself does not believe that God can expose him one day. You are seeing in front of your own eyes. I don't have to tell you. In USA, you are seeing so many pastors getting exposed. Who exposed them? Man did not expose them. God exposed them. God exposed them. These are the same pastors teaching you. God says good things. God never says bad things. God wants you to have money, prosperous. Yes, all a part of the gospel. That is true, but they teach it on a different note. And all those stuff. And they will never teach you God rebukes. These are the people who never taught you God corrects. They themselves did not point out sin. But one day, God exposed them. And you are seeing that right in front of your eyes. Because the scripture says it. This is the God of the Bible. And whatever he is, he will accomplish. He exposed his servant David. A servant after his own heart. He exposed the adultery of David. He exposed that he killed. No one knew except David himself what he did. No one knew. But God exposed this David through a prophet. Are we understanding?
Yeah.
So that's what I want to say. God exposes his servants. Verse number 11. Verse number 11. Thus says the Lord, "Behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor." This is the punishment. "And he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun. For you did it secretly, but I will do these things before all Israel, before the sun." You see, there are whatever you sow, whatever a man sows, that is what a man will reap. if you conspired against someone and killed someone. I'm telling you, I know many Christians who hide, but for property and money, they conspire and they do witchcraft, Christians, even against their own family members, so that they will die and they will get the money. What they are doing, what they are sowing, they will one day reap of it. They think the Lord is silent. They think the Lord is not watching them. God is watching whatever you are doing. You are killing someone. You are conspiring against someone. You are cheating on someone, taking their money. You think God does not look at you? You think God will not do anything? You will do and follow your own heart and come in the church and say hallelujah? You will be exposed one day. And the things that you have sown, you will reap of it. Are we understanding? Be careful. Be careful. Most of the, I was living in a city, and most of the Christians who used to go to the mega church were all greedy Christians. Money and property and this and that, greedy, greedy ones. When I used to pray for some of those people, God used to show me the things that they used to do behind God's, behind the veils in secret. They conspired. I know a Christian family, and God showed us. There was a person died, and they termed that person committed suicide. But when we prayed, I found out that the family conspired to kill the person. Christian people, believers. Do you think what you do in darkness will never come to light? I'm telling you, it shall come to light.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I told you I expected silence, so yeah. I am not shocked tonight. I'm not shocked.
Mm-hmm.
I expected sister. Amen. Be careful. Are you killing people? Are you committing adultery? One day God will expose. Don't believe those preachers. If you are following those preachers, when God's calamity comes on you, repent when it is time. Expose yourself. Expose yourself. Tell, I have committed this, God, and I am sorry. And God will forgive you if you expose yourself. What the thing about David is, after David heard this, he was not like Saul. That's why David is called, still he is called a man after God's own heart. Because David wrote Psalm 51, and Psalm 51 is about his sin. He exposed himself to all Israel. I have committed sin against the Lord, but I will go to the Lord in forgiveness. He was not afraid. I am a king, but I have sinned against the Lord. But rather Saul, what he did was, when he sinned against the Lord, he was stretching out his hand and trying to grab a hold of Samuel's clock. No, don't go in front of people and tell all these things. Let's go in secret and sacrifice to the Lord that the Lord will forgive me. So he was hiding his sin. Even after the Lord exposed him, he was manipulating himself, manipulating the people, trying to manipulate. So when you expose yourself, you will have mercy. But when you hide your sins, you will not have mercy. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Okay. So God exposes his servants, and then God even punishes for what people have sown. If there is bloodshed, if there is adultery, taking another person's wife and doing adultery, those things will have a reaping season if you don't expose and if you don't pray about it. Okay? Hallelujah. So here I showed you how God rebuked, exposed, and punished his own servant David. Deuteronomy chapter number 3. Turn with me to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 3. And verse number. Deuteronomy chapter number 3. Verse number 23 to 26. Then I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness. This is Moses praying to God. O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds? I pray, let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains and Lebanon. Moses, I feel sorry for him, but God's word is God's word. After serving God so much, going through so much tribulation, you know the story of Moses, how much he suffered, how much he went through just to serve God and to bring the people out of Egypt, and how much tantrums and complaints he had to hear and go through so much of things. And here he is pleading to God once again because God has restricted him to cross over to the promised land. Here he is pleading to God, Lord, I pray. This is God who answered Moses' intercession prayers about the people of Israel. He would take Moses' counsel. He was in authority with God. He was an intercessor. He was a great servant of God, a mighty man of God. And this mighty man is pleading with God in this verse. God, can you let me cross over and see the good land beyond Jordan? I want to see those pleasant mountains, Lord. I want to see the Lebanon. See what God says to him. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough of that. Speak no more to me of this matter. Hallelujah. This is, I am showing you, I'm not taking you to that extreme that God is a strict teacher, but there are certain sins when we fall into it. I already preached, took a sermon on the reason why Moses was disqualified. I told you his grievous sin. And the Lord would not listen to Moses' pleading and prayer. And see the way Moses prayed, Lord, please, let me see those beautiful mountains. Let me see those beautiful plains and mountains in Lebanon, in Jordan, beyond the Jordan, the land of Canaan. Please, Lord, the Lord said, don't speak to me about it. I have said no, means I have said no.
No.
You see that? But after Moses died, when you read Joshua chapter number 1, whenever God mentions about Moses to Joshua, he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses, my servant. Moses, my servant. Hallelujah! Do you want to enjoy the things of the world, or do you want to stay under the rebukes of the Lord? If you choose to stay under the rebuke and the chastening of the Lord, God will proclaim through the ages, Portia, my servant. Kay, my servant. Raul, my servant. Are you understanding?
Hallelujah.
That is the attestation you will get, that you are a servant and you are the servant of the Lord. Even after you die, God will mention your name as my servant Moses. My servant Moses. When he speaks about David, he says, my servant David. Why? These guys endured the chastening of the Lord. Unfortunately, many of the preachers today, when they will die, God will never take their name and says, this person, my servant, because they despise the chastening of the Lord. But Moses listened to the Lord. Lord, you are saying, no, I will not go. Maybe Moses would have cried, but God did not listen to him. Wow. I don't know if the message is, the Spirit of God is speaking to you, the heart of God. My servant Moses. Though Moses was not allowed, but he was the servant of the Lord. No one can change that fact. He was the dearest son of God. God's own servant that God loves, that God will protect his servant at any cost. And even when Moses died, the Bible says the power of his eyes did not grow dim. He was in the strength of his body. That is the blessing that you will get when you are listening to the rebukes of the Lord.
Amen.
Many people are offended when God rebukes them nowadays. Many people are offended. Many people don't want to listen to those such things. They don't even read the Bible. How they will understand the God of the Bible? Read your Bible and see how God treated his servants. Read your Bible. This is Moses. This is David. And see how God spoke to them. There is not only one. There are many examples. I picked up these things. There was another chastening. David was chastened by the Lord because David numbered Israel in the last book of Samuel, in the last chapter. He numbered Israel and God was angry with David. God is not a partial God. He has his judgments and commandments. And if anyone does not abide by it, even if it is God's own servant, God will judge them. Don't, hallelujah. Before we go ahead, can you shout amen? Hallelujah. There were the few people who were there in the start of the meeting, I think they left. They did not like my message. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's okay. Hallelujah. Amen. God of the debased mind, don't follow him. God of the human heart, don't follow him. Know the Jehovah God. Know the God of your Bible. Read your Bible. Meditate on it. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. Humble yourself down before God and tell God whatever is in me. I am not a righteous person. Whatever is in me, uproot from me. Expose me. I remember at the age of 19, I wanted a ministry. And the prayer that the Holy Spirit led me to pray was, Lord, you want to insult me before people insult me. You want to have me criticized and broken down, break me. But I want to be used. That I remember those prayers I used to pray at the age of 19, when I wanted to be used by God. And at that age, God connected me to a voice in India, to a senior pastor. And I used to listen to his teachings. Mighty man of God. And once I visited his meeting, his name is Zach Poonen. So I was in the office. You can go and look up his sermons online. Zach Poonen, a great Bible teacher from India. So that man used to teach on holiness. That man used to teach on how to, you know, walk in holiness. And he's still there. One of my friend in my office, he was a Christian. When my birthday was, he gifted me a book of that man of God. So when I started to read his book, I heard the Holy Spirit calling me on that pathway of consecration, denial of self. So I started to discover more of his teaching. And once he happened to come in my city, and I went to his meeting, and I wanted to meet him. So in the meeting was there from morning until evening. He was teaching the word. So I happened to visit him during the break time. You know, I got a chance to visit him. So I went and I met him. When I met him and saw him really face to face, I saw the glory of the Lord on that 78 years old man's face. His face was glowing with the glory of the Lord. His face was white and shining. Though he was so old, I really saw through the Spirit that he had the glory of the Lord on his face.
Yes. Sure,
connect yourself. Last time, that was my last sermon on discernment. Daniel, the Bible says in Daniel chapter number 9, he referred to the prophecies of Jeremiah. Now, many Christians ignore that scripture. You have to understand that there were many other prophets apart from Jeremiah during Jeremiah's time, who were more famous and influential than Jeremiah. When you read the book of Jeremiah, you will know. Jeremiah, if there has to be a rating from the people of Israel and Judah, which are the best prophets you like? Jeremiah will come at the last, at the bottom of the list. There will be other prophets in that list. But Daniel, the man of God, when he wanted to pray, he referred to the writings of Jeremiah. Why? Because he discerned which voice to hear. Which voice are you hearing? Whose teachings are you hearing? Hallelujah. Are you discerning the voices you are hearing, the teachings you are submitting to? Even when you have to, Daniel wanted to do ministry, so he had to submit to a senior voice. He referred to the writings of Jeremiah and understood by the books of Jeremiah how much years of desolation will God accomplish. And then his prayer was based upon what Jeremiah prophesied. And Jeremiah was the most rejected prophet. But God pointed out Daniel to that rejected prophet. Hallelujah. Christians, the Lord is speaking to you. The Lord is teaching you, I'm telling you. The Lord is teaching you and telling you, don't look for voices that are found in mega churches. Most probably, they are not the voices of God. Go to look for discern the right voice for yourself. And mostly the right voice will be found in the wilderness. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? The right voice will be found in the wilderness. A voice that will teach you to discern between good and evil. A voice that will chasten you. The voice of God through that person that will pursue you to live a holy life. That will pursue you to walk completely in the word of the Lord. A voice that will pursue you and humble yourself before the Lord. To humble yourself before the Lord. Look for that voice. Look for that voice. Hallelujah. Don't listen to every voice. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? If you ask me how many voices, I have listened to only few preachers, not everyone in my lifetime. Not everyone. Because a man of like Daniel discerned the right voice whom to listen to. Okay, any which ways. Hallelujah. Debased mind. What is the definition? And then I will end there. What is the definition of a debased mind? So remember where we started? We are looking at the God, the false God of the debased mind. And what is a debased mind? A debased mind is a mind given up to follow the devil's voice as the God ruling over the human heart. A debased mind is a mind given up to follow. A mind that is given up to. When you are writing the definition, underline given up to. So it's given to follow. That means it cannot come back. It cannot be brought back. It's given up to follow. It's given up to follow the devil's voice and the devil as the God ruling the heart of the person. The God of the human heart. The God of the human heart. Okay? Turn with me to Romans chapter number 1. Turn with me to Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. God gave them over. Were a mind that is given up to. Now, you will say, God is so cruel, he gave them over. Why? Doesn't God love them? I want to show you a picture. Listen to me very carefully. God has given them up to a debased mind means there was a battle between God and an entity. It's a result of someone constantly asking from God, give this person to me. Give this person to me. Okay, what is the meaning of God gave them over? Some Christians think, oh, God is a cruel God. How can he give people over to a lying spirit? How can he give people over to a debased mind? I am teaching you and explaining you the scripture now. Listen to me. When the Bible says God gave them over to a debased mind, God gave them over to deceptive spirits. It's there in Thessalonians. Don't look at God as a person who did wrong. No. Don't look at, understand from the Holy Spirit what the scripture means to say. Don't listen to the devil explaining you the Bible. Don't listen to the devil. That means God was in a battle for you, for that person. And the person, even after multiple warnings, even after multiple chances, and after a long time, the person decided not to retain God, not to cooperate with God. So because of the person's dominant will, because of the person's stubborn nature, God had to give the person over to the opposite party. You wanted to take this person. The person does not cooperate. Take. Do you remember in the Bible where Apostle Paul talks about an adulterous boy, an adulterous young man, and he says, I handed over him over to the Satan. We will come to that in the next teachings. Are you understanding? So God tried his best. Remember Peter? He was saying, Jesus, I will go with you on the cross. I will even die for you. What did Jesus say to him? Peter, Satan has asked of you from me. Say, I am in a battle with Satan for your soul. Do you know a battle for your soul is going on? Do you know that? And God is trying his best to save you. But if a person decides not to retain God in his knowledge, God gives that person over to a debased mind. People of God, are you understanding? Can I have an amen? So that is the battle for the soul. The battle for the soul. The battle. Let me stop here. Let the battle for the soul. I will come to that in my next teachings. I will continue that in my next teaching. So that is the battle for the soul of a person. And when God sees the person is not cooperating, the person is given over to a debased mind. So then we will discover how the God of the debased mind operates. What does he do? What is the doctrine that deceives people towards a debased mind? Towards a debased mind. So let's stop here and let's pray. Father, we want to thank you. Hallelujah. I want to give you the praise. I want to give you the honor. I want to give you the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that whatever is your will, let it be done in this place. I pray that whatever is your will, Lord, we want, let our hearts and our will, our ways, crucify that. And lead us into your ways. Lead us into your will. I know, Lord, for the world, I am teaching something. Maybe for some people, I am teaching them something that is out of their context, that they never want to hear. Father, but this is what you want to speak to your people. And your sheep will hear your voice in this time and season. Father, your sheep will hear your voice, even though they are few, but they will hear your voice. And I pray that you will gather your sheep, my Lord Jesus, my Master. You will gather your sheep in your sheepfold and you will take care of them. And you will not let a hireling, Lord, deceive them. You will not let a thief, Lord, steal them or kill them or destroy them. Oh, Lord, let your sheep, whoever are your sheep, they are signified by they hearing your voice. Hallelujah. And you said you will bring all those sheep in your sheepfold, and you will lead them. You will lead them in green pastures, Father. You will lead them in rest.
Yes.
And Lord God, I pray that I know, Lord, even as we are doing this meeting and I am teaching this word, Lord, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the gods of this earth, Lord, against the gods of debased minds, against the devil himself. And I pray that you will expose those wicked forces and break the hold of their power upon the minds of people. That Lord, whomever you want to deliver, you will deliver them. Whoever responds to your word and receives it, that you will deliver them from the God of the debased mind. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Thank you once again. Yeah,
Jesus.
Oh, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor, Lord. And we cover every person who are here, even those who are not there, Lord. We cover all of those people with the blood of Jesus. And in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. He shout, Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 Amen.